start this morning. Amen, God. Thank you. If you have your Bible and you'd open it up to the second epistle of Peter, St. Peter, the Apostle Peter, 2 Peter. I love this book. I love the Word of God, and I'm just so thankful for this today that I believe it'll encourage you. It's going to help your life. It's going to breathe some hope and life into you today. And no matter where you have come from, no matter what your background is, God's got great for you today. God has never intended your life and mine to be filled with failures and defeats. But despite all the ups and downs that you and I may face, His intention is that He wants you and I to know that He is not only with us, and that's an important thought and an important fact right there. He's not only with us, but He is working inside of you and I. Did you hear that today? Yes. And when we are doubting and facing some unscripted challenges that come out of nowhere sometimes, we go through something and we look and we think, how did this happen? Where did this come from? We can know that what He has done and what He has provided, He has caused us not only to be brave at certain times, but to live out our lives with the conviction that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on, do you believe that today? Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And you know that sometimes I feel like I can face down any challenge, anything that's coming my way. I can face down, exposed to the right people, if I'm in the right atmosphere, if I'm at the right place, I feel strong. You know, if I walk into a situation and I got all three of my boys with me, I feel like, you know, if there's any bad people in there, I just want to say, come on, sucker, I got this. When I got my boys with me, I got the strength and the power of them with me. You know, I remember when the boys were little and we used to watch the Karate Kid movie. Do we have any Karate Kid fans here? We'd watch that movie, and after that movie would get done, my kids would get up, and Ben would be the biggest perpetrator in this. He would get up, and all of a sudden, he knew all these karate moves because now he had watched The Karate Kid. And him and Ryan, he is three years older than Ryan, he'd start karate chopping and kicking on Ryan, and they'd start fighting, and their mom would say, you got to quit this, you got to stop, quit this. And I'd be, you know, half wanting them to stop, but the guy in me was kind of laughing that, you know, they were exposed to something that made them strong and made them brave for that moment. But then there's the times in our lives when we're alone in the depths of the hour, late at night, thoughts, negative fears, worry. Your mind goes to places you can't even imagine. Why is it even going there? And you're laying there in the midst of that hour, and it's just you. And all this starts to pile up on you, and you wonder, what is happening to me? You don't have the band with you. You don't have Rufus playing in the background. You don't have Ryan and the singer singing. You don't have Patty up here singing next to you. You don't have anything. You're alone, and it's just you. And you wonder, what am I going to do? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to face this down? Because I'm challenged with this right now. And everything inside of you begins to scream and tear you apart. And I want to read these couple verses out of 2 Peter today. And I want you to receive this today. Because I believe with all of my heart, this is God's word to you and I. And he says in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read out of the New American Standard Bible today. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant of the apostle Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind of ours. He's talking to Christians here. He's talking to people that have placed their faith in the finished work of the cross. He says, by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. He does not say that he wants grace and peace to be added to you. He doesn't say that if you make a mistake or you fall or you fail, that he takes it away. He subtracts it from you. He does not say that the experience you had when you first received him as your Savior was the only time that you were ever going to know what this grace and peace would be like. He doesn't even want you to think that living a Christian life with grace and peace in your life is 1 plus 1 equals 2 or 2 plus 2 equals 4. He doesn't want you to think. He says to the believer today, to the one that has made Christ their refuge and their strength, to the one who says, I've been born again by the power of God, he says, grace and this peace be multiplied to you. Multiplication. He says, I want to take you to another level with your experience with grace and peace in your life, because it's not a one-time experience. It's an ever-increasing experience over your life, in you and with you, that no matter what is happening around you, because of knowing God and the power of His Son, Jesus Christ, He is changing what's going on inside of you. And He is protecting you. And at the same time that this is happening in your life, the Bible says He is multiplying His favor and His peace, His grace, and His kindness to you. You say, well, I want this. Now, I do too. And you have to remember that the grace of God is God's unmerited favor over your life. I don't know about you, but I love the favor of God on my life. I love the simple things. I get in, I want coffee, and I pull in, and I walk up there, and I'm the first one in line, and I turn around 30 or 40 seconds later, and I see a line of 15, 20 people behind me. That's little, but that's the favor of God in my life. God wants to, He says He not only wants to give you that favor, but the Bible says He wants to multiply that to you. Not just so you'll be the first one in the coffee line, but so that when you speak His word in negative and dark situations, that life will come and the favor of God will reside upon your life. He says He also multiplies peace to your life. And the word peace here is defined by the words, the flow of calm in your life. And some of you need that, because even in the midst of a storm, even in the middle of turmoil, the Bible says that He is multiplying this peace to you, the power of the flow of calm in your life. Instead of you blowing off at the handle or tearing it up, somebody apart for what's happening in your life, now the peace of God is recognized inside of you for what it is and who He is, and you have the flow of calm that is working inside of you. You don't have to act like you used to act, because the provision that He's made for every single one of us. And He goes on to say in verse 3, seeing that this divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and His excellence. For by these things He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. And God's intention for you and I today and for every day is to multiply His presence in your experience through His divine power that has been given to each and every one of us. Everything you need to be all God wants you to become, you already have. I know I said that, and maybe you didn't catch that. Let me say it again. Everything you need to be all God wants you to become, you already have. Everything you need, you already have it. You and I do not have to go outside the promise of God and the provision of God to be what He has called and created us to be. And some people, they get their lives full of so many things. They get hooked on looking for love in all the wrong places. They try filling their lives with things and people that will never satisfy them. And it leaves them feeling broken, feeling scared, lost, and lonely, like they've been cheated, and God was never in it, because He said, everything you need, I've already provided for you. Oh, I'm going to take you to someplace on this. And our country, our community, is in the midst of a drug epidemic. Right in our own community. And my heart breaks for those who are traumatized by this. And if you are a person that is here today that is facing or going through that or know somebody, we want to help that person. And you might have to connect to a period of time, a program to deprogram what the enemy has tried to make you into. But know this, Jesus will change you and make you into someone that you never thought you could be. Oh, I like this. Because he says, what you need, you already have. Now listen to this. He says, his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Do you know that there are 1,025,109 words in the English language? 1,025,109 words plus one water bottle in the English language. Did you hear that? 1,025,109 words in the English language that are all controlled, listen to this, by 26 different letters. And if you know the English alphabet, A through Z, you do not have to go looking outside for other letters to spell any of the 1,025,109 words that are in the English alphabet. Because every word is in those 26 letters. Oh, I like that. Everything you need to spell is in the English alphabet is contained in 26 letters. 1,025,109 words. And I know some of you are Googling that right now. And when you find out that I'm right, just let me know. That's just a joke. You would shake your head if you knew that somebody was trying to find a 27th letter in the alphabet to spell a word. You would say, that's strange. But and Peter says that everything you need to become everything God has called you to be already is living on the inside of the Christian believer. I'm going somewhere with this right now. There are people that are looking to something or someone else to be what God has provided for them. And you get let down. You get brokenhearted. You go through these times and you wonder, why am I here again? Because God never wanted you to go outside of his alphabet to find out what you needed in your life. Everything that you need, he has given to you. And it's inside of you. And in Colossians 2:10 says that you are complete in him. And you do not need to go outside of him to try to discover that. Verse 4 says that you may become partakers of this divine nature. Now I want you to listen to me. You're going to have to really listen to me on this one. Really sharp for just a moment. The divine nature speaks of what is planted into the soul of the believer. If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, it tells us that we are a tripart being, body, soul, and the spirit. Listen to me now, stay with me. The body helps us to communicate, and it is who we are in this world. You see my body. You look at me and you say, that's Marty. But who I really am is the soul that lives inside of my body. And when you die, the body gives up and the soul moves out. The Apostle Paul, I think it's in Timothy writing, he says, the literal Greek says, when he has finished his race and he's finished his course here on this earth, he now packs up his tent and he unfolds it in heaven. Ryan talked about it a little bit this morning, talked about death and dying, reminded me of what I had set that text out Friday, that my brother was buried and or it was his birthday and my mother had died on that same day. And that realization came to me, but I went to the Word that day. And in particular in my brother and in my mother's life. It brought me such hope. And I remember as a young boy, 11 years old, when we got his personal belongings came back and his wallet and my mother. I was 11 years old at the time. It was one of the most traumatizing moments of my life. My dad had collapsed at work after being on a 30-day drunken spree. He had been taken to a mental hospital because he was unfit to be in public. My mom was looking through my brother's wallet. She could just barely hold herself together. It was a traumatizing time. And I remember, and I still have it, in his wallet was a track. A little red Bible tract, How to Be Born Again. And I believe God showed me that at that time to let me know at a later date in my life when I knew who Jesus was, that God was there before my brother went into eternity, because he was a partaker of a divine nature. The soul moves out. It goes on into heaven. Inside the soul of the believer is the divine nature, the spirit. That is where God, when you receive him, takes up his residence inside of you, inside the soul, which is in the body. And the way that the believer is supposed to live and to work is that the spirit, the divine nature, tells the soul what to do, and then the soul commands the body what to do. Are you with me today? I told you to listen to me. But if you have a corrupted soul, if your soul has never been born again, or your soul has been corrupted, your soul will tell your body to do corrupted things because it wants to do what it wants to do. It's not under the direction of God or the leading of the Holy Spirit. God help us. When we as Christians engage in something and we don't feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit anymore. But the way God has meant for it to work is that his spirit, the divine nature, begins to instruct the soul, and the soul instructs the body, so that the body only does what the soul says and the soul does what the spirit tells it to do. And he says that once you have become a believer, you become a partaker of this divine nature. And it starts with a seed that is planted inside of you. 1 Peter 1:23 says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Listen to me. You have that living on the inside of you today. Deep, if you've given your heart to Christ, if you want that life that God has provided to you to come alive, you've got to do something about that. You have to begin to cooperate with it in order to have it. You know, we live in a country where there are laws. And if you obey the law is your friend. If you disobey the law will be your school teacher. It will be your master. I know that. My goodness, I hadn't had a speeding ticket in 25 years. I got two in 2 months. And you know why? It was the people that were riding with me. I didn't even know that was funny until after I said it. That is funny. My pastor was with me in one. I was driving down the thruway. We were talking. Man, we were in depth. I look at my rearview mirror. I said, man, State police, he's going after somebody. Man, he's coming fast. He pulled in right behind me. I go, he wants to talk to me for some reason or another. The next one, it was with the blonde bomb over here. Right here, it was her fault. I actually told the trooper. He said, you know what you were doing? I go, I'm sorry, sir. I was talking to this blonde over here. She just had all my attention. I thought for sure he'd feel compassion on me, handed me that ticket. The law was my schoolmaster because I did not cooperate with it. It's the same about going to the gym, and I never thought I'd be that guy that goes to the gym. I never thought I needed it. I grew up on a farm, worked hard, had all the muscles. I was stronger than the guys that were working out in the gym when I was younger, but then I forgot. I wasn't milking cows, baling hay, and shoveling manure anymore. Now I was a little bit more sitting and doing physically not much. And I thought that if I paid the bill at the Y every month, that would build some muscle on me. I thought that would be enough. I was trying to cooperate with it, but it didn't constitute a workout. And I just love the social junkies that go into the gym once in 6 months or once in a year, and they buy their workout outfit, and they get their fancy sneakers, and they get their headbands on, their wristbands on, and they slap some water on their face, mess up their hair, look like they're all hot and sweaty, and take themselves a selfie with the barbells behind them and say, it was nice seeing you guys today. I got to go. You got to cooperate with what is there. And even though it's all provided for you, some people, they don't participate in it. But Peter says, for this very reason, apply all diligence in your faith. Moral excellence knowledge, in your knowledge, self-control, in your self-control, perseverance. And some of you, you engage in this life change, in this moving towards the purposes and the plans of God, and you run up against some resistance. Obviously, you are going to run up against resistance when you make the turn to live for Him. You're going to have people talk about you. Old friends are going to leave you. Oh, so sad. But stay with the program. Don't stop until what is needed to be done is working inside of you. And he said to your perseverance, godliness. And godliness simply means, it causes you to ask, what benefit is this to me, what I'm about to participate in, irregardless of how it may feel. And he says to your godliness, he's telling you to add these things to your life. See, it's not enough for you just to come to the altar and say, Christ, come inside of my heart, forgive me of my sin, and just think you're going to walk out that door and live like you always lived. You have to make a step in the right direction. And you have to begin to add some of these things into your life. And he says in verse 8, if these qualities are yours and you are increasing, they render you neither useless or unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind, short-sighted, having forgotten the purification from their former sins. And it breaks my heart when I talk to people who have known the Lord or known of Him for years and say, you know what, I just need to take a break from serving God. What? Until you become broken. And you need God in that moment of your life. He's talking to believers that have forgotten where they came from. My brothers and sisters, you can never forget where you came from or what He did for you. And some of you may not have the dimension of the testimony that others had, but I want you to know that if you've given your heart to Christ and that divine nature, that seed is coming into your life, He's not only forgiven you and helped you, He's going to lead you into a pathway that is going to cause you to rise to a higher level, be more than you ever thought you could be. And when the end is over, when time is ended here on earth, He has made a home for you in eternity that where He is, you can be all. So, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. In verse 10, I'm going to close. He said, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and His choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will not stumble. You got to get involved in it. For he said, in this way, the entrance into eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. So what do we do? Here we go. Here it is. Three thoughts. I'm going to leave you with this. Number one, you got it. You got this. It's living inside of you. You have all you need to be what God has created you to be. Seed is inside of you. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says, to every man, He has given the measure of faith. Every single one of you. You have the same measure than anyone near you or me or anyone. You've been given the same measure of faith. You have to know that it's inside of you. Number two, you got to take what He has given to you. You got to begin to use it. You got to begin to use it. Some of you need, you're rusty and you're just, you've been miserable. Hey, can I just talk to you just for one moment? Some of you are miserable in your home and your family. Some of you are miserable to your spouse because you're not letting these qualities work in you. You're wanting everything to fit into your mold and to your plan. And until you release that and say, God, here I am. Use me. Plant me. Lead me. Direct me. And you give up your personal agenda. And you give in to God's agenda. And you take what He has given to you. And you use it for His glory and for His honor. You got this. You got to use it. And the third thing he says that if you do these things, you're wondering why you're falling down. You're wondering why you're running up against this wall. I see it day in and day out. And what I do, people round and round. I get the same calls sometimes for the same people over and over. They get good and then they stumble. They get good and then they stumble. Can I give you an answer to that? Stay in line with God's plan for your life. Quit waiting for Him to get you out of your trouble just so you can have breathing room to go back into trouble again. Quit hooking up with every... Help me, Jesus. Be careful in your relational values. And let God establish your going outs and your coming in. Hallelujah. How did I do, darling? That was good, she said. Begin to connect with God's plan for your life. Begin to serve. Begin to increase your knowledge. Connect in Bible studies, small group settings. Let God's plan begin to grow in your life. Some of you look out the window on a Sunday morning and say, is the sun out? Not really. Well, it's too... I just stay home today. That's not making you into what God said. When you say, I got to go to church to be everything I got that God wants me to be. I will tell you this, that if you go to church, you will become everything God has called you to be. Because you can't help it. You get around people, you get in the atmosphere. And then the seed that is inside of you, the divine nature, it begins to grow. And it begins to tell your soul what to do. And when you want to go here and go there, you want to run to this or run to that, you want to hook up. There, I did it. I said it. Praise the Lord. I couldn't. It was bubbling in me. I had to get it out. You want to just go wherever you feel. I just want to feel good. No, you don't. You want to feel right. You still love me? When the seed grows, it tells your soul what to do. And when you come against fear and defeat and doubt and pride and unforgiveness and hatred and bitterness and addictions and all of those other worldly attributes, your body will obey what the Spirit inside of you is saying, and you will not stumble. You will be brave. You will stand up and say, not today, baby. I'm not going down that road today. I'm going to stand in the face of opposition. I'm going to stand in the face of cultural acceptance when everybody else is doing it. I don't need to do it. Because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm strong in the Lord. I can be brave. I can raise to that level. I can be what God has called me to be. Come on. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Bow your heads. Close your eyes just for a minute. This is a moment that you need to just come to that place before Him. You need to be brave today. You need to make the decision today in your life and in your heart. Thank you, God. I want the prayer people to come down. I want you to just keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed. For some of you today, this is going to be the greatest moment of your life. And be brave. Eyes closed, your heads bowed, and just Let this permeate into your spirit
as
today.
As your love in wave after wave crashes over.
God's got a great plan for you. If you've never given your heart to Christ, Paige is going to keep singing the song. I want you to get up out of your seat. I want you to come down here right now. Let these people pray for you. If you're in a place where you've just been going round and round, you've been facing that struggle over and over again, this is your day. Come right now as she sings this song. Come on, don't wait. If you'll come, God will use you to help others to come. Thank you, Lord God.
I have heard you calling my name.
Yes, God.
I have heard the song of love that you sing. So I will let you draw me out beyond the shore into your grace. Oh.
God, I thank you today that you have made a way. I thank you, Lord, for the promise that you have opened up to our lives. Thank you, God. Some dads, before you leave, you just need to stand, come down before you walk out the door today. And nobody wants to know anything about you, but there's something about you just responding to the drawing of the Holy Spirit that just helped you to be a better dad, better grandfather. I'm just calling on dads today. Some of you, I sense that in my heart as Paige was singing. Some of you just need to man up today. Be what he's called you to be. Father, I pray your strength and your power on every person here. I pray your hand upon them. I pray that each one of us will know that inside of us dwells everything that we need to be everything you have called us to be. And I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.